Campbell's comments today, doing something a little bit differently, and here in Charlton, catching up firstly with the Sandersons, Naomi and Shane. Firstly, thank you very much for joining me. Shane, you can keep that one because I'm close enough to Naomi. I'll put this one under Naomi where we want to go. Thank you very much for joining me, though, guys.
No worries. You're at welcome. All. Thanks for coming.
Yeah. You're going to have to talk a little bit louder than that, or no one will hear you. I reached out to you, Shane, just the other day to have this catch-up because I think I know the story, and I think there's probably a few people that actually know the story of how come you guys ended up here in Charlton. But I think it's a great story. And two Fridays ago now, I'm going to say, it was Ryan's birthday, so I'm sure you will remember it. Ryan went to Mildura and drove a treble, and Abby went to Bendigo and got a double. And I'm sure that's probably, for mine anyway, pretty good justifications for the sacrifice you guys have made for your kids. How did that day feel, firstly for you, Shane, because I know a little bit about Naomi's, but I mean, how did you feel on the Friday, like after Abby got her second winner?
Obviously proud dad. He was happy that Ryan could get a treble on his birthday, and he's been going well at Mildura, and Ab's sort of been driving really well, but she's had a bit of a drought, and we probably haven't had the right horses to put her on as well, unfortunately. But yeah, once she got the double and a bit of confidence again, just seeing her get the double I was very happy for her. Yeah,
you weren't there, did you? Sit back and have a quiet beer, or what does a dad do when he's got the house to himself? Because I know where Naomi was. What do you do when you got the house to yourself?
Yeah, I was having a quiet beer actually, and then when Ryan come back from Mildura, a couple of the boys wanted to go to the pub, so after Abby won, we thought, why not? So we ended up down the pub. We didn't get there till about 10 o'clock at night, I reckon, but we started late anyway.
And Naomi, I was working for Trots Vision, and I was fortunate enough, I saw the reaction after the double with Abby, and it was this beautiful embrace, and it was just raw, I think. You must have been super proud as a mum. I mean, you didn't get to cuddle your son because he was at Mildura, but taking Ab to Bendigo, it was pretty raw, and you were very, very excited and pretty happy mum, weren't you?
Oh, for sure. She's so passionate about her racing, and to have that happen for her and the Douglases put so much faith into her and give her a chance, that probably really made her dream come true. I'm pretty sure that's probably her most favourite and best day to date, I reckon.
You interview her, and it must be something about the Abby name, but because Abby Turnbull's a bit the same. You never know exactly what you're going to get, but you know it's just going to be happy and bright when you do interview her.
Oh, happy and bright and genuinely her. Yeah, yeah.
She is indeed, and I will catch up with them in a little while. The reason I wanted to, I suppose, showcase the story is the sacrifice you two guys made to give them every chance to be drivers. We'll go back a little bit, Shane, if you don't mind, and I know quite a few guys through the camp drafting that actually know you, but your harness racing life, like where did you start your harness racing journey from?
I started back in Redcliffe in Queensland. My parents grew up just around the corner from the local Redcliffe track. They had no previous background, my mum and dad or anyone with horses, and we used to go up to the trots then on a Friday night. And I took a bit of a shine to them and started working in the stables at about age 15.
So no horse experience at all?
No, none at all. So I was still going to school and I was working, and ended up mum and dad bought me my first horse when I was still at school. And we probably saved him from the back then. They used to go to the Doggers. Well, he was on the Doggers truck sort of thing. And we sort of got him. Obviously dirt price cheap, and he went on to win a few races, and I was hooked after then.
So that's a pretty cool story. Did someone take you under their wing, like at Redcliffe?
I started with at the Belfords doing stables there, and then I sort of, when I moved out on my own, I was sort of helping out Greg Franklin and Ricky Gordon, and so I just sort of mainly learnt from them, obviously, and learnt by my mistakes, really, I suppose, yeah.
Which is a school of hard knocks. Naomi, how did it start for you with harness racing?
I'm more of an equestrian background, sort of up towards Maribor and Queensland, and when I finished year 12, I moved to Brisbane, had to get a job. Me being a horse girl, I got a job in a stable, which happened to be at Greg Franklin's, which is where I met Shane, very early in the early mornings. Luckily for him, I'm not a morning person, but he hasn't got rid of me yet, so it's, yeah.
So that's actually how you both met as well, was basically through harness racing.
Yeah, Greg Franklin's, and sometimes I remind him, some days I don't know whether to buy him a beer or knock him out.
she doesn't have a microphone, so we won't hear Naomi's answer to that. So my recollection of you guys was Newcastle or New South Wales. Like, how long did you train in Queensland, or how did things go for you in Queensland?
So Queensland, we grew up there and all our family's there, and, you know, we love Queensland. We sort of probably, you know, love to go home. But things were going well. Probably the harness racing wasn't going that well, and I'd put an expression of interest in to go to the Menangle many years beforehand. That sort of took its time getting up and going. And things were going great, and then an opportunity come to go, and I hummed and hawed and just thought I'd probably, you know, I didn't want to have any regrets, so I thought we'd go and test ourselves against the best, I suppose, and challenge ourselves and see if we could, see if things would progress. And we were there for 5 years, and things were really good. We did quite well. I thought we did quite well in Sydney. At Menangle, we trained several Menangle winners, and probably trained close to a couple hundred winners in Sydney. So it was really good, and we actually did love it there. But we were coming to the horses we had and the owners, I suppose, at the time were sort of coming to an end. Menangle sort of horses we had, and the kids were getting a bit keen, and I just didn't feel as though we had the right stable there to sort of get them going, you know. So we sort of sent Ryan down with David Aiken for 12 months, which he learned a lot, and was David and Colleen were really good to him. And, yeah, so one sort of thing led to another. He was starting to get a little bit established here, and, we sort of thought from a driving point of view, and, you know, if we could try and, you know, get him going ourselves with some horses, it would be best if we come to sort of country Victoria. That was how it all come about.
How old's Ryan, Naomi?
He's 19.
So they were 12, 13-year-old kids when you moved from Queensland to New South Wales. That must have been – were you nervous about that, I suppose, as a mother? I mean, it's, you know, ladies look at things differently to guys. I'm sure Shane is like, yeah, let's go there and we'll train. Were you nervous as a mother to uproot and go to a whole different state?
Oh, for sure. Being in their early teens and we were in country Queensland, moving to Sydney, that did concern me at the time. However, the harness racing industry in Sydney, there around Menangle, they're pretty good bunch, really. And they sort of took us in like family, which helped. And then the kids got to know everybody there and the younger drivers. And they're a good bunch of people. So that sort of set our mind at ease there and helped them settle in as well.
And it helped the kids settle in. But then, as Shane said then Ryan went to Aikens. I think he's only about a 17-year-old young lad.
Yeah, he was around about that age. He'd finished school at year 10 and it was just dead set passionate that he was going to drive horses. So we just thought, oh, that we'd give him every opportunity. And that was a great opportunity to go to David and Colleen's and learn everything he can from there.
Did you guys know them before you went there?
Yeah, we got to know David and Colleen when we were in Sydney because, you know, Ake spent a fair bit of time up in Sydney, really. I don't think he had a stable there for 12 months or 2 years, and with his nice horses like Lenny and Hector and that, he was back and forwards a bit. So we sort of really got to know David really in Sydney. Yeah,
I did an interview. Ryan's actually over the back, so he'll actually hear this, but I actually interviewed him I think he'd had a couple of winners at Charlton before, and I interviewed him at Kilmore, not Charlton. But he was a shy, reserved young type. He might have been a little bit cocky as a young bloke.
Cocky? No, never. I would never say.
I would on the interview if he remembers. Yeah. But no, I think he, like, when I say cocky, I mean that in a nice way. He's cheeky is probably a better way of putting it.
More so these days, he's probably got a bit more confidence like that. But no, he was definitely a very, very shy younger kid for sure. So it's come about this way. Yeah.
I highlighted there before about on his birthday. How did you guys handle watching him driving horses in Victoria? You were in New South Wales. Was that hard for a parent to watch your son, you know, doing what you guys want him to do, but not being actually a part of it? Was that hard?
Oh, it was. I mean, the reason I sort of we were happy for him to go to David's, I thought he could get a better opportunity than we could give him at the time where we were. So we were thankful that he was getting an opportunity. He was involved in a pretty bad race fall at Charlton. That's probably how we ended up being here in a roundabout way. But when he had that fall, it was in the middle of COVID, and we were beside ourselves because he had to be airlifted, and not knowing what was going on, we were, you know, I know I didn't handle it real well, so we jumped in the car that night and drove to Melbourne, and it was when the lockdown was on, so we got in, but we had to sort of, it was a bit hard getting out again.
Yeah, and that's, I think that's one of the highlights. What I want to do is the sacrifices you guys have done, because, I mean, you know, one moving from Queensland was one. The first thing I said to you, Naomi, when I got here today, you go, well, I said, it'd be nice to be in New South Wales. You said, oh, it'd be a lot nicer to be back in Queensland, because it is chilly here. But for the kids, you are a long, long way from where the journey started for you guys, if you like in sunny Redcliffs with the Group 1 racing and that on the minute. Shane touched there on it, on that horrible crash, and it was a horrible crash. It was a horrible crash to watch. One, did you watch it live? Like, were you aware when it happened?
Unfortunately, we did watch it live, for sure, and that was a dreadful feeling. It's probably taken me a while to be able to watch every single race from that point on, because, if I know he's going to drive something that's a little bit wild or wears massive spreaders at Mildura or something, you know, I might not watch that race. But, it certainly wasn't nice at the time to be watching that.
No, and Shane, you said it affected you. I could actually physically see it affected you, even just talking about it. And I think, you know, we take a lot of things for granted with the kids that we put up in our industry, I think, sometimes too. Like, we put a fair bit of pressure on them and the likes to perform, to be able to, like, I didn't actually know the part with the COVID about, you know, when you're telling me that, I'm thinking, oh, that would be horrible. So I'd imagine you guys got in the car and drove, not even sure if you're going to be able to get into a hospital and be able to actually physically see your son, and probably didn't know exactly how he was going either.
Oh, exactly, yeah. No, it was a terrible time. We were aware that, I think, that we could have got into the city, but at the time you had to, you know, the people weren't allowed out. So, and we had, obviously, Abby was still at school and we had a stable full of horses. So thankfully we had, Cameron Hart working for us at the time, and his sister was great. They looked after Abby and looked after the horses. And from the time he had the accident, it might have been 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I think we were on the road about 8 o'clock that night. So within 3 hours, we were making some arrangements for the horses and for Abby. But we knew we just had to be in Melbourne.
That, just on that, Cameron and his sister, neither of those are very... So that's a huge sacrifice from them guys to turn around and, go from being a stable hand, if you like, helping you guys out, to basically looking after a young girl and looking after that was huge of them to be able to do that.
Oh, we're so grateful for them. But the Hearts are just, that's who they are. They'll give their right arm to anybody who needed it. We're just very grateful for them. And we didn't have that many horses at the time, so it wasn't a massive burden, but, you know, the logistics of caring for horses, and Abby, who's fairly independent anyway. So between Cam and Ash and Abby, they did a really good job.
You guys must be so proud watching them perform now, both of those. Do you take a little bit, you must take pride in it, do you, watching how the Hearts actually perform?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, Cameron was, you know, lucky enough, I suppose. He wanted to come to Sydney from the bush, and I knew Ash because she was already working there, and she said her brother wanted to come down. And, I mean, he was lucky at the time. We actually had some pretty handy Menangle horses, and me being a trainer and not a driver, and the kids were obviously too young. You think about it, there's probably not that many trainers that don't drive them themselves in Sydney. You know, a lot of the bigger stables with your Fitzpatricks and McCarthy's and Morris's and so on, they sort of drive them themselves. So probably Cameron was lucky, and we were lucky to actually get him, because he turned out to be, you know, we see what he's doing now. He's a freakish talent. So he come along, and as I say, I think he was sort of, you know, it worked out good for him and it worked out good for us. And those Saturday night horses we had, we won multiple races with horses like Expressionist and Lurum Creek and On the Smooch and Mind the Wire, Baz's Art, My Elusive Dream. They're all sort of horses that won multiple races on a Saturday night. So I think that sort of probably got, Cameron Gowan in the city, and he's gone on to bigger and better things now with who he's, you know, driving for likes of Jason Grimson and Jared Elchin. So, yeah, but they were, you know, we struck up a good friendship, and, you know, we got to meet his parents. They come down quite often from the bush, and, you know, it's no surprise the kids have turned out the way they are. You know, they're a lovely family, and, yeah, they, you know, made lifelong friends out of it. And, you know, I'd like to think he probably thinks we helped him along, and I think that he helped us along as well.
I think the sacrifice that he made, like, you know, hour of need, basically, is exactly what it was. You said you're on the road within 3 hours, like, and not knowing what to do. You know, I think that's huge. Looking after horses is one thing. A young girl, as a parent with one, that is a you know, a very big sacrifice for a young couple of people. So you must be proud. He was in hospital for a couple of weeks, I think, or at least a week. During that time, second thoughts? Did you have second thoughts about this harness racing caper and the industry and what it was doing?
I probably had second thoughts with Ryan driving, just being the mother and seeing a child hurt. Obviously, I'm like, well, wouldn't you like maybe an office job or something? But I knew that was never going to happen. When we saw him at the hospital, I think maybe one of the first things he said was that he couldn't wait to get back out there again. So it didn't diminish for him. But yeah, at the time, I would have preferred him maybe to do something different. Yeah.
And Shane, did you have second thoughts for him?
Oh, not really. I mean, you know, it's a dangerous sport, obviously, but I, you know, when we knew he was sort of all right and sort of wasn't as serious as first thought, I didn't handle it well at the time, but and probably that was more not knowing how bad the injuries were, but I was happy for him to go back again.
It's one of those things, I think, if you're not a parent, unfortunately for me, I am, and it's one of the greatest, you know, gifts you can get. But if you're not a parent, sometimes you don't understand what your kids can mean to you. So, I mean, that's why I asked that question, because I don't know if my daughter, if that happened, whether, you know, you'd want her to pursue it and to keep going. It's a little bit ironic that you're at Charlton, but I would imagine it's also no mistake that you guys are at Charlton. The guys here at Charlton, they kept you informed on the day when things did go pear-shaped?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Joey Thompson, the president, he was on speed dial, basically. He called all the time, which was great, and, kept us up to date. And even when we were in Melbourne in the hotel and Ryan was still in hospital for those... 4 or 5 days maybe. He rang every day and was checking up on him, and genuinely cared for him and genuinely concerned. Yeah.
It is a great little community, isn't it?
Oh, they're so supportive. You can't walk down the street without somebody mentioning, oh, you're racing this week, or good on the kids, or whatever. Yeah, they're a great bunch out here.
So you go back to Sydney, Ryan goes back to Sydney as well. What brought about the change? Because this is more what I want to, you know, highlight. I think the sacrifice that you guys have done is, as I said, you've got great family base in Queensland, Menangle, Sydney. What is that, about 6 hour drive back to Redcliffe? So, I mean, you're not that far away now. You're about a day and a half's drive from your family. What brought about the idea of settling here in Victoria to give your kids every chance to make it as a driver?
Well, it was definitely the give them every chance as a driver. I sort of look back at it, and I certainly didn't set out to go from Queensland to New South Wales to Victoria. You know, that's not what we planned, especially we're, you know, very family orientated, and our family's back in Queensland. So I'd love dearly to probably go back there. And it's probably hard now that the kids are starting to get established, and, you know, they're getting their, you know, their careers on the go and partners and that type of stuff. So, from that point of view, it's, you know, as I say, we didn't envisage doing about it this way, but I sort of thought when we sort of wanted Ryan to go to David Aikens, I thought it was for his best chance, and then, you know, when I probably thought about it, no one's going to give him a better chance than what we can, sort of thing. So I just bit the bullet and thought, well, you know, we're going to have to really get them going. I know there's not a hell of a lot of money in training horses, so, you know, I want the kids to do well while they're young. So if they can, you know, set themselves up financially in the first few years while they got their claims, they need to be sort of somewhere like Victoria, I thought, to be driving horses. And for that to happen, we need to probably get a stable full of horses and try and get them going. So that was, it was purely that, you know, for what horses we could, I suppose, get our hands on at the time. And we've been very fortunate and lucky enough to pick up some bloody hell of good owners since we've been here. But it was more purely as to probably get the numbers up that didn't need the quality that we needed to have at Menangle, because we got the country and could get the kids going on the country tracks.
Were you apprehensive about it?
I was only from the point of view is that I'd already uprooted the family once to go to Sydney, and we've uprooted them again to come to Victoria, and I don't think they probably were really wanting to go to start with, but I thought it was in their best interests, and, you know, I thought, well, if we can set them up while they're young, well, they can, you know, if they want to go back to Queensland or New South Wales, like wherever they want to be, they can go as long as they're set up at a young age. And you know, I certainly would have preferred to go back to Queensland, but just, you know, with the circumstances, we come here and, yeah, it's, you know, the kids are going great and the community have taken us in, and, yeah, Charlton's a very good community, and the trotting, it's a trotting community, and, you know, everyone in the town, you know, doesn't matter if it's a baker or the... someone working at the fruit shop or the service station or the electrician or the plumber, it doesn't matter. They all know when you're racing. They all know when the kids are racing, how they've gone. It's a very unique community. I've never experienced anything like it.
Were you apprehensive when he said to you, "Let's move to Victoria"? And did you have to get a map out to see where Charlton was initially or not?
Well, because of the fall, I certainly knew where it was. Yes, I was apprehensive at the time. I was like, what do you want to do that for? And we had uprooted from Brisbane to Sydney, and that was a pretty big change for our family. And thought, you know, maybe it's going to be that hard again. But then again, when you sort of rationalise it, nothing ventured, nothing gained. You only have one life, and do the best that we can for the kids. And, yeah, it's turned out not too bad.
Something you and I said just before we recorded this, there is no sacrifice when it involves your kids. It's just like, right, it's for the kids, so let's do it.
Yeah, you would just do anything for them, and it's very satisfying to see them really sort of take those opportunities and excel at the moment, yeah.
How old was Ab? 15, was she, when you just moved here?
She had a trial driver's licence, so she must have been 15, I think. Yeah, 15, turned 16.
And she came here. So it's a big sacrifice for a young girl as well. Like, I mean, I'm talking to you guys here, and Ryan's, you know, an established driver, and probably he knew a lot of people in Victoria. But, you know, a 15-year-old girl, it's a difficult time of life for them, really. They've got their friends and they're happy. And I don't know what school she went to in Menangle, but I would imagine no matter what, it was a lot bigger than what Charlton is here.
Oh,
for sure. It was quite a large, a private school, and they're very strict in that, and they're coming to a smaller school. I think there's only year 12, there might be like 11 or 12 students, so that was a massive change for her. But Ab's not one to sit at home and have a sook, so she'll get out there and help herself. She went and joined the local netball club. Obviously, we've got to know all of the racing people, and that's really helped her a lot to settle in.
Was she always going to be a driver, or was that really just come about from here, or even before that she was always going to be a driver?
No, she was always the keenest out of the two, really, right from a young age. And she got a licence in New South Wales, a trial driver's, and she was helping out the Morrises, Robbie Morris and Kerry and Turner, and they sort of put her on a few. So she got very... she was always keen on the horses, but she got very keen on the driving when she was in Sydney, and... yeah, she wants to be a driver.
Yeah. Can you explain your apprehension or nerves, I suppose, when Ab had her first drive? Like, were you more nervous for Ab's, even though you'd been through it with Ryan, or was there a difference?
Maybe. She was heavily into the mini trots, and she was a bit of a, you know, bit of a wild driver with some wild ponies there. So I'd seen her, you know, overcome a few hurdles there. So I did go and definitely watch her first trial. Wasn't too bad, yeah.
And as a dad, like the dad-daughter bond that you can have, how were your nerves, mate?
I was just trying to think when her first drive was. Who was her first drive on? No, it was a trial, but a race drive. That's terrible, isn't it? I should know her first drive. Oh, look, I wasn't too bad. I don't, you know, get terribly nervous when the kids drive, but yeah, I you know, she handles them good, so I thought she'd be all right.
Yeah. Like I said, that's what I want to highlight is the sacrifices you guys have made, especially, like, even though today is a nice sunny day, it is still very, very chilly. And I think, well done to you guys. I think what the two kids bring to harness racing, I think, is great. I think Ryan is really starting to stamp himself. He's driving terrific Metropolitan horses and doing a terrific job. And Abby is an Abby. I think it's going to have to be a new name, because it doesn't matter if it's Turnbull or Sanderson, whichever one. She's so bubbly. She's got like a Monique about her. She's so bubbly when you're in it, and she's just a breath of fresh air. Plus, driving. Like, I mean, you must be rapt with how well she is actually driving, Shane.
Yeah, no, for sure. I actually think she's going to make a driver. Unfortunately, just for the last 12 months with the way our horses have been going, we probably haven't had them going as good as we should, and we haven't given her the best opportunity, and it's more been the horses than her. And so, but thankfully, the Douglases, Eric Anderson and Glenn and Julie have been absolutely terrific for her. They're just so supportive. They give her plenty of opportunities, and she's starting to get on a few more of theirs now, and some better horses. And, she's driven two doubles in the last 7 days sort of thing. So, and a first Metropolitan winner. So, she's just starting to sort of hit her straps now. And, I sort of always knew she, I definitely think she's, if things progress the right way for her, she's definitely got what it takes, but we just need to get her on some horses, more horses.
You may not know it or may, but I know that night at Bendigo, Glenn pulled me aside when he knew I was working Trot's Vision, and I can't think of the name of the horse in the last. It's got a ripping name. It was the last leg of the double.
Golfo Paradiso, I think.
That's it. He pulled me over that side, and he basically, so it must have been on the radio or something along those lines, that they couldn't work out why Alan wouldn't be driving this first horse from New Zealand, and it had a big rap. But Glenn pulled me aside and said, basically, they wanted to be able to drive in Melbourne. They believe in the girl, so she needed another win. Jack Law is their number one driver, so he's got, I think, a month's holiday. So they took the opportunity. They said, well, let's try and get her, driving in the Metro. They don't have to do that. I mean, they've got multitude of horses in work. They've probably got 100 drivers knocking on their door wanting to get some of these drives. You guys, as parents, love him or hate him, Glenn Douglas, I mean, I think that was just, a mark of what they do, those guys, that they've taken her under the wing and really trying to expose her to the rest of the harness racing world.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, as parents, I can't be, we can't be thankful enough, really, for what they've done for her. And, I think he pulls her aside if she makes a mistake, like, he doesn't sort of get angry. He just points it out and, has a laugh and goes again. So so he's been good for that. He's been good in more ways than one, really. Yeah.
It was on that night, actually, the first winner that she drove down the back straight. Johnny Keldo wobbled up the track. And Ab went for the run. Johnny's a little bit wily. Like, he's like, no, you're not getting that run. So she had to go back out and around. No harm, no foul. She won the race quite comfortably. But again, the guys on Trot's Vision, they captured Glenn, and you could just see him explaining to Ab with the hands what to do. I got no idea what he said. There was no microphones. It was a long way away. But it was brilliantly done by the camera guy. But he was just, you could see he was doing, explaining to, and that sort of help, again, like him or hating Glenn Douglas, he's a good horseman. He's been there, he's driven. So there's sorts of things that, young kids in this, they need that sort of guidance. And I think it's great. I think what they've done for you guys, what they've done for Ab especially, I think is terrific. And I really do enjoy it. Guys, thank you. Thank you for a few things. One, for having the chat, but thank you for coming here and settling in Victoria. I think what you guys are doing for the industry is terrific. You brought two young people in that are, doing a great job, not only driving winners, but their presentation, which is something that I'm key on, the way they present themselves. They're always thankful. I think you've raised two really good kids, and I think well done to you guys for the sacrifices that you made in bringing them here. So thank you very much for joining me. Just giving a little bit of the tale, and hopefully that's at the end of this. Actually, before I go, have they driven against each other?
Oh, it's several times. They have done, from ponies to even track work to the trials and races, yeah.
How was that for a mum when they did it at the races?
Oh, you could you could see them both looking for each other and just wanting to make sure, it didn't matter where they placed, that they beat the other one home, yeah.
Oh, so it's competitive. Do you get nervous at any stage, Shane, like with that sort of stuff? You don't worry?
No, I don't. No, it's hope one of them can win, really. Yeah, when they get around safely. But, yeah, don't get too nervous.
Guys, thank you so much. Thank you very much for joining me, and hope you get many more winners. The team is going good too. Well done with Vanquish Stride on the weekend, mate. So keep up all the good work.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks,
Paul.
Much.
Thanks, guys.